To prevent the spread of coronavirus 2019, or COVID-19, social distancing and self-isolation measures have been recommended. Here are some tips for managing your mental health while working from home, in self-isolation, quarantined, having to be home due to loss of employment, or just having to be home more than usual, according to @counselingforallseasons on Instagram. Try to create a structure or routine for your day. Structure helps us feel a sense of normalcy and control, and this is especially important during a time with a lot of unknowns. Routines do not have to be about productivity. Take a nap, go for a walk, or read a book. Remember to have regular meals and hydrate. This can add to a regular routine, and both of these can contribute to mood changes. If it's possible, get outside. If it's possible, get outside or open your windows. Fresh air and natural light can be beneficial to mental health. Don't be afraid to go outside. Just make sure you're observing basic social distancing. Stick to a sleep routine. Both lack of sleep and excess sleep can increase anxiety and depression. Keep up with personal hygiene and chores. Skipping personal hygiene routines can affect our moods, so try to shower, etc., even though you're not going out. Keeping your space tidy and clean can help with mental health, but it'll also contribute to preventing the spread of COVID-19. It's two birds, one stone. Remember to connect with loved ones. We might not be able to see people face to face, but that doesn't mean that those relationships are any less meaningful or important. Connection is vital to our mental health, especially in times that can feel full of despair.
Feeling lost in the lonely, meaningless cyberweb? Looking to connect with other users? Then plug in to a CITR collective. Meet users who are compatible with your interests and passions. CITR's mainframe offers 9 unique collectives: news, arts, accessibility, sports, persons of color, indigenous, gender empowerment, LGBTQ2SIA+, and music affairs. CITR collectives are where you can make great radio, great friends, and avoid the abject loneliness of life in the cyber void.
Loneliness.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Hi everyone, my name is Anna and you're listening to Season 6 All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM. I am joined by my Accessibility Collective teammates, Jordan, Stephanie, Monica, Richard, Katie, and Christy. Hello, everyone. The team and I have a really good show for you today. We're pleased to have Four Wheel City's one half, Namel Tapwaters Norris. Unfortunately, Ricardo, Rick Fire, Velasquez, the second half of the duo, could not join us today. Namel and Ricardo are two talented hip-hop artists and motivational speakers. Today, we'll be getting to know more about them and the organization Four Wheel City. But before we chat with Tapwaters, let's go for our first song break. Here's Jordan with the first song.
Hi, Anna and everyone. Our first song of the show is the titular track of Four Wheel City's album, Welcome to Reality.
I pledge allegiance to the flag.
Here we go, students.
The United States of America.
To get your heads right.
It goes stop. Welcome to reality.
Welcome.
You think you rough, you think you tough, you think the bad is me. You think you hard, you think you guard, you live your fantasy. Keep it up and you gon' end up sitting down like me. Stop. Think. Welcome to reality. You think you rough, you think you tough, you think you bad is me. You think you hard, you think you guard, you live a fantasy. Keep it up and you gon' end up sitting down like me. Yeah, I'm talking to you, Mr.
mister. Mr. Knucklehead messing up in school, mister. Mr. Hat to the back with your do-rag on. Pants hanging off your ass thinking you mad strong. Mr. Can't think, read, or write. Mr. Hanging in the streets all night. Mr. Ain't too bright. Mr. Wanna drink beer, smoke weed, and shoot dice. Mr. Wanna carry guns, cause you can't fight. Mr. 20 years old, still in the ninth grade. You supposed to be in class, but you in the hallway. You living life the wrong way, headed down the wrong path. And I'll be trying to put you on, boy. You wanna do is laugh. Mr. Gotta stay fly, gotta stay high. Mr. Living life like you never gonna die. I ain't trying to play, I'm trying to open up your eyes. Where you end up in jail or end up paralyzed, you better stop. Think, welcome to reality. You think you rough, you think you tough, you think you bad as me. You think you hard, you think you God, you live a fantasy. Keep it up and you gon' end up sitting down like me. Stop, think, welcome to reality. You think you rough, you think you tough, you think you bad as me. You think you hard, you think you God, you live a fantasy. Keep it up and you gon' end up sitting down like me. Yeah, now let me talk to you, miss. Miss thinks she all that, thinks she cute, miss. Miss weaving your hair with your tight jeans on. In the mirror all day like you got it going on, miss. All you care about is your looks, miss. Why you carry your school textbooks in your pocketbook? Miss Paris Hilton, Britney, top model wannabe. Trying to sneak up in the club with your fake ID. Miss finish school, be all you can be. Get a college degree and grow up to be smarter than me. Don't waste your time chasing Mr. Mister. It's all Mr. One. To do is hit ya, get the picture, sister. I ain't trying to play you, I'm trying to convince ya. But making no mistake, I'm trying to convince ya before it's too late and reality hit ya. You better stop, think. Welcome to reality. You think you're rough, you think you're tough, you think you're bad as me. You think you're hard, you think you're God, you live a fantasy. Keep it up and you gon' end up sitting down like me. Stop, think. Welcome to reality. You think you're rough, you think you're tough, you think you're bad as me. You think you're hard, you think you're God, you live a fantasy. Keep it up and you gon' end up sitting down like me. No matter whether you're Mr. or Miss, I'm trying to prevent you from ending up like this, or ending up like Rick, or ending up like Chris, or ending up stiff.
Come on,
you could end up rich. All you gotta do is stay in school, set goals, stay focused, and follow through. Look at me, I'm living proof. I've been through it, seen it, wished for it, dreamed it, worked hard for it and achieved it. Please believe it. I used to could walk, but now I'm a paraplegic. But I'm here for you to see it.
Right here.
So take a good look, and while you at it, follow the hook and just stop. Think. Welcome to reality. You think you're rough, you think you're tough, you think you're bad as me. You think you're hard, you think you're God, you live a fantasy. Keep it up, and you gon' end up sitting down like me. Stop. Think. Welcome to reality. You think you're rough, you think you're tough, you think you're bad as me. You think you're hard, you think you're God, you live a fantasy. Keep it up, and you gon' end up sitting down like me.
Yeah. The moral of the story is, there's consequences to your actions. So, when you out there, you in school, just make sure you stop and you think, and you realize that the choice you make today is gonna affect your life tomorrow. Yeah, it's the city, four wheels. To all my young misses and misses, I love y'all. Like little brothers and sisters. They're like my little brothers and sisters. Yeah. Tap. Rick.
Welcome back to All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM. The song you just heard was Welcome to Reality by Four Wheel City. What can I say besides that these guys are some of the baddest and most motivational in the game? Would just like to thank Namel for joining us today and sharing more about his life.
Thanks, Jordan. We're very excited to start our show topic, which is chatting with Four Wheel City's Tap Waters, a very talented hip hop artist and motivational speaker. Hi, Tap Waters. Welcome to CITR's All Access Pass. We're so thrilled to have you here with us today.
What's up? How you doing?
Oh, pretty good. We're super thrilled to have you today on the show.
Same here. Thanks for having me.
Fantastic. We'll just move on to the questions now. And I think Monica has the first question.
So our first question is if you could introduce yourselves a little to our audience and share a little bit about your story with us.
Well, I mean, I'm pretty much one half of the movement, Four Wheel City. My name is Namel. Tap Waters is my rap name. And pretty much we've been working together. Rick and I, he's a producer. We've been working together since I got injured. My mother kind of connected us, introduced us, and we were living in the same neighborhood. And then we came together to be friends because we was in wheelchairs, but then we quickly discovered we both had a love for music and hip hop music, and we started making songs together. And over the years, they turned into like songs with messages, and we developed like a group kind of thing and an organization and a movement called Four Wheel City. And it was pretty much to help other people get information. The four points is to inspire, educate, advocate, entertain. So normally we tell people to throw up the fours, and the fours represent just the things that we're trying to put out into the world, and hopefully other people get inspiration from, and that's to inspire people to never give up, like educate people about what they can do in life, and then also educate people who think that people in wheelchairs or who have disabilities can't do anything. We want to show them that we can, and then like we advocate for wheelchair accessibility, more inclusion, social injustices, and we also against gun violence. And the entertainment part is just the music. So that's what we do. And that's pretty much the idea behind Four Wheel City. And we've been pretty successful at it over the past years, being able to like travel the world, different all around, you know, the US. We've been to London, to the UK, been a few other places, and been able to work with some like big artists like Snoop Dogg and the project with Stevie Wonder. So we've just been using our talent to kind of build a bridge to help other people and also just share the message of hope.
Thank you so much. That was fantastic. And I think the next question is Richards.
Yeah. So I know that the culture of hip hop and rap has roots in activism, and I know that it gave a voice to the Black community and now the world. So I was wondering, how did this legacy of activism affect you, whether as a listener or now as artists?
I mean, to be honest, since we're bringing up hip hop, I can't go any further without giving a big rest in peace shout out to one of my favorite artists, DMX, who recently passed away. And as soon as you said hip hop, my mind went there, because it's been on my mind a lot. And I wanted to bring that up as soon as you said hip hop, because like I've been rapping since I was maybe 11 years old, and I've always been inspired by artists who has something to say, and not just rap, but like actually has something to tell us. And how you can tell who's a good rapper, in my opinion, as an artist. Rapping and art is two, they go hand in hand, but they're not the same thing. But then you have some rappers who are great artists, and that's what always motivated me as a writer. I always wanted to have something to say, and DMX is one of those artists that when I first got injured, it was 1999, and in 1998 he dropped his first album. So he dropped another, like artists don't usually do this. They don't usually drop two albums in the same year. And he dropped his second album, and he dropped his first album like in the summertime. And he dropped another album in December. I got shot in January, and I was in a hospital for like 6 months listening to his music. So my recovery had a lot to do, like hip hop had a lot to do with my recovery. Before I was rapping before I got injured, but after my injury, hip hop kept me in tune with my own identity that I knew before I was injured. And I was able to connect back to it and keep in touch with myself through hip hop music and artists like DMX, who had a song like, "I'm slipping, I'm falling, I can't get up, get me back on my feet so I could tear stuff up." He said shit like a curse, and I curse, I don't know, but he said, you know, he wanna get back on his feet. And I used to hear that and be like, "Yeah, I wanna get back on my feet." And so early in my injury, hip hop helped me connect to myself. And then when I went home, I started to think about, I would rap and always wanted to be, I always wanted to be kind of like, I never just wanted to sound like other people. I was in a group called Elite Cartel, and then me and my partner, it was like a collection of us, kind of like the Wu-Tang, and I had my partner, we was called Nova, but we always tried to speak about different things. So when I got injured, I used to, first I had to find my voice again, and working with Rick and control my breath and learn how to rap. And then, so I just got back into rapping like regular rappers that just have, you know, the craziest, hardest things to say. But once I started to go through my trials and tribulations as a person in the wheelchair, just as a human being, I started to realize that there was a lot of things that I didn't realize before I got in the wheelchair that were issues that emotionally and just in society that I was like, I need to be able to, I started to like infuse it into my music and the things I was writing about. And some of like, and I was able to think about artists like Public Enemy. I draw from Stevie Wonder actually too. He's not a hip hop artist, but as a person with a disability, he has shown me that I could, like, cause I didn't think that after I got injured that I'd be able to still do music in such a way. And so I had to find a way to convince myself. Well, not to convince myself, find a motivation that if I actually did make a song, like people would want to hear me. So I thought about like Stevie Wonder, and I was like, well, he has a disability, he's blind, but people still love his music. So I was like, a Public Enemy, then I would think about like Run DMC, right? So the way they approached what they were doing, they dressed a certain way, and they went into the culture, and like the way they were, it was themselves. So I was like, I never seen that in the disability space. I never seen like people who were like artists in a wheelchair, and I never seen them connect with just the culture. So I was like, that's what I wanted to do as an artist. I wanted to connect with the culture and bring the disability issues together. And that's what me and Rick started doing. And it was because, so those were some of the artists I looked at initially. And then just me as my favorite rappers, like Jay-Z, he had a song called like Girls, Girls, Girls. And I made a song about talking about like all the different home attendants I had. So another song him and Cameron had, they were talking about New York City, and I replaced it with Four Wheel City. So I started to take a lot of songs that were coming out, and I started to make them like in a, like the disability sense and the wheelchair things. I started doing little mixtapes and still rapping my street stuff, but starting to like talk about things that I was really going through as a person in a wheelchair and bridging them with the culture. And then we did The Movement, the song talking about stuff being not wheelchair accessible. And then that song really kind of catapulted us to start getting going, because it was like speaking directly to our community, that the people that was feeling that way. And that's what kind of really got us going in the door, being able to just use our music as a tool, but at the same time use the hip hop culture as like a platform that I think the disability community didn't see before us. I think we kind of like pioneered that in a way.
Oh, that's awesome. And honestly, super inspiring. Thanks for sharing that with us.
Your story is a reality that's not always talked about in mainstream rap. Why do you think that is?
It's funny you mention that, because I'm about to do a panel with the Grammy Academy in a couple of weeks, and they're going to be talking about that issue right there. And it's been on my mind a lot. And I think one of the main reasons is I think there is a lack of respect for people with disabilities within the entertainment industry. And I also think there's a lack of people willing to take chances and give people opportunities. And I think that all goes hand in hand with people not seeing the capabilities or like the the value of people with disabilities. And I think because they don't see that and they don't want to give it an opportunity as much, it's hard for them to like build to make that bridge more accessible for us, because they is like trying to believe in magic, you know, like if all right. So I remember when before I was in a wheelchair, I didn't really think much about people in wheelchairs. So I overlooked a lot of things that I started to notice once I got in a wheelchair, and I started to be like, wow, like I never ever thought about this. And that's what made me want to start putting my voice out there and putting things out in the music. Cause I was like, if I never thought about this, I know there's a billion people out there that feel just like me, who probably never thought about these things. So I want to make them aware. And I feel like that's what goes on in the entertainment industry. I feel like a lot of them are not aware, and that lack of awareness doesn't create the urgency for people to get an opportunity. So what happens is like we just fall to the side and to the back of the line, and I think that's something that's just a snowball effect, and that's what's been going on for a long time. Because I noticed that, so I was like, my approach to it, we're gonna do it for the city. It's like we're not gonna complain about it. We're just gonna actually set an example, and by setting an example, it's like, oh, I can say something, because we actually have the experience to say, oh, like, because if we said something before, they would be like, well, what have you done that we would even be interested anyway? So now we can have this long list of things and be like, this long list of chests, and like, if this ain't good enough to, you know, be given that opportunity, then what is? You know, so now that's the place I'm at now with that.
You're really making a lot of effort, and I really admire you for that. And congratulations on your panel with the Recording Academy.
Yeah.
Yeah, congratulations for that. With all this in mind, what do you think has been your biggest challenge in the music industry?
Well, I think that what I just was talking about, I think, and I don't want to call out the whole industry as a whole. I think it's more so some of the gatekeepers who make the decisions to actually give people that clear green light of an opportunity, like, because we have done, like, I feel like, well, been doing it for a while, so I've seen the music industry has changed from like when we started in the early 2000s to now, and what lies with change is like it's changed, but it's actually what has changed is like is the way the artists are taking control of their brands and their opportunity with the access of the internet. So in technology, so a lot of artists are doing their own music in their house. A lot of artists are having their own followers and can get out to the whole world and get on YouTube themselves. So a lot of things record companies used to do, artists are doing themselves now. But me and Rick been doing that since we met each other in 1999. And a lot of that is because we didn't know where to go. We didn't have nobody taking us to big studios. We didn't have like nobody hooking us up with like opportunities to be on record labels and things like that. So, so with that, we started to just do stuff ourselves. And by doing that, it's like we learned a lot to be creative and how to like start the middle and the process of that. But now that's the way a lot of the record industry is. And I say that because now it's like for us, we kind of been practicing what we preach for a long time. But the record company, I think they and like I said, I don't want to call out the whole entire industry because we have been given a lot of opportunities based on our town. Like most of the our best opportunities have come from just our genuine, like, people seeing us like perform or hearing us somewhere. It hasn't been because we've been like begging or asking for certain things. It's like we actually, if most of the articles about us or things like that, if you read them or follow them or interviews that we've been in, most of them, we're actually doing something. Like, it's not like we're just sitting somewhere like this, like, so to speak. Like, we actually, like, they probably seen us performing somewhere, or we probably put out a song. So it's always like connected to we actually working. And so it's like we're actually working, and we're actually getting the feedback from, like, we have got a feedback from a lot of media and sources like that. But so I'm always like, how come that keeps happening in those spaces? But in this one space, the people that make the decisions to people in that light never come to, like, knock on our door or, like, ask us to do an opportunity. Not that we, like, need it or desperate. I'm just thinking, like, why all these other avenues have done that, but not this one? And I always wondered, and that brings me back to what I was saying about I just think it's the lack of respect and the lack of vision that they don't see the value. Because, like, if all these other places see it, then why you don't see it? And then it's like, if it's not becoming because we spending money, we don't have, like, a publicist, it's coming from the actual talent. So if the talent is the thing, then why aren't y'all, like, supporting this talent? If you see that talent is actually going places and being, and, you know, like, our talent is taking us so far already. And it's like, so how come y'all haven't seen that or supported that or said anything about that when everybody else has? So I just think it's just lack of respect, lack of value. And I'm speaking on behalf of me and Fort Will City, but you can look at history. Oh. I don't know any big time artists that were in wheelchairs or things like that, like big visual disabilities. I can't recall any that I know, especially in the hip hop community. I'm not saying that there's hundreds of us, but I don't remember seeing any get, like, that support and light and the investment into them that, like, any other, so to speak, able body or regular artists would get when they have done as much as, like, Forward City has done.
Yeah, you have brought a lot of very relevant topics in disability rights movements that, mm-hmm. you know, are, yeah, that's what happens. And thank you so much, Dap Waters, for that. We'll chat more with him in just a moment, so please stay with us. But now we'll go to Jordan for our second song break.
Thanks, Anna. Our second song of the show is Long Time Coming by Four Wheel City.
Time, man. Too long.
It's been a long time coming. Change gone.
It's been a long time.
It's been a long time coming.
Put your hands together.
Yeah. All I got is these lyrics and these raps and these beats and these tracks and my wheels and my chair.
Here,
we back for the best.
Come on.
Long time,
yeah.
Coming.
trees. And my parents and my father, my survivors out there who overcame all the odds. And my people out there who can't find a job. And all the kids out there, they wishing on the stars. And my independent woman trying to make it on their own. And they baby daddy, when they left them on their own. And this world's so cold, and everything is unknown. And the good die young, and nobody gets old. Let's roll.
Welcome back to All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM. The song you just heard was A Long Time Coming by Four Wheel City. And back to you, Anna.
Thanks, Jordan. So to reintroduce our guest again, we have Four Wheel City's Tab Waters, a talented hip-hop artist and a motivational speaker. The group's mission is to use hip-hop music and culture to create more opportunities for people with disabilities or diverse abilities and inspire people not to give up in life. In addition, show the world that everyone has talent, dreams, and deserves to be treated equally. Four Wheel City performs original music, and they also do motivational speaking engagements at hospitals, schools, rehabilitation centers, fundraisers, and events all over the world. So now we'll go to more questions. And the first question will be Christie's.
Hi. So could you tell us about your most memorable moment with Four Wheel City?
Ooh. There's so many. Either going to the White House for the first time to speak during like the Obama presidency, and I think that was 2016, right before Trump became president. That was 2015, I think. We went and it's between that and recording a song with Snoop Dogg. I think it's probably the two things that I think being in the moment of each were like very surreal to me. Like those two. Like kind of like in the time they were happening, this didn't feel real to me. So I think it's got to be between those two.
That actually is super amazing.
Yeah.
So how has your motivational speaking impacted others? In other words, what kind of feedback have you gotten from all around the world about that?
Well, I guess it's going good. Like, I'm here talking to y'all. I try not to like focus on that stuff, that part so much, because it's like, I think sometimes I would hope that like everyone would get something from it, and like I try not to get caught up in like the individual times, because it's like, if that doesn't happen, then it might make me feel like I'm doing something wrong or I'm not doing good. So I try to like just stay balanced with that. But over the years, we have received a lot of, positive feedback. People who have really said that some of our songs has really touched them or helped them. You know, and being able to, I think, like, speaking to kids in high, in schools, people who just got injured in hospitals, there's always going to a lot of different conferences, speaking up on behalf of the Americans with Disabilities Act here, and just advocating for more accessibility and things like that, anti-gun violence. I just always feel like if as long as we given a space and a platform, I just want to be the seed that, you know, like that gets to have a voice in those moments, and hopefully it just touches one person, hopefully. And if I do it enough, then I'll reach enough people, you know, and at that point, that's all I can do my part.
Indeed. You know, like, as long as we're doing our parts. And so the next question is from Jordan.
Thanks, Anna. So Top Waters, how has the pandemic changed the way you get your messages out there? You said that since your music was, well, in Four Wheel City's kind of inception, you guys aimed at, like, you know, dropping your music on the internet and stuff. So I'm guessing that overall it hasn't changed too much, but with a pandemic, has anything kind of changed in how you deliver it?
Well, yeah, in a sense of not being able to, like, go out and perform as much, you know, that's kind of changed a lot of, I think the natural way we kind of connect with people, that's how we started, like, performing. I mean, we've been making music in the studio since 1999, but the way we started connecting with people the most is going out and performing. So for me, I like to, and I'm more like the performer of the group. And I've always liked to, it's like, people who are like artists and really like to perform and express themselves and then things that they're doing, we kind of like feed off of people's responses. And sometimes we feed off just being able to, like, when you come up with something new and a new idea, you just want to connect to an audience. And especially when you have the experience doing that. And so before, like, there used to be CDs, and we used to press up a lot of CDs and give them out to sell them, go to, like, a lot of, well, for me, it started, like, in schools when I was in college, and I used to have mixtapes and promote them and stuff. And then when we started doing Forward City and making albums, like, they started on CDs, and from CDs, it went digital. But CDs were good for a while because, like, you can have it in hand. If you perform, you can give something to somebody right there and they can buy it or something. But the digital stuff is, like, once we started noticing when we go out and do things and people be like, I don't have a CD player. So then it's like, you gotta start changing up the process and get more digital in ways. So, you know, so now it's like barcodes and just links and stuff like that. So we went from, like, CDs and stuff to, like, barcodes and links. And so in this environment, that's good because we can't get out and give the physical CD, but at least we still have barcodes and links. And I would say, since last year the pandemic started, we were actually looking to, like, in June, we were supposed to work with Hot 97 and Able Newspaper and the Disability Games here, the Victory Games that was going to be at I think it's Hofstra, if I'm not mistaken, and then we were supposed to do something else in California, so we were kind of getting ready to, like, do a lot of things. And like I said, like, performances is our key to, like, getting more opportunities. So we was, like, looking forward to that. But what happened was, once all this hit the fan, things started happening organically that kind of musically kind of kept us, sustained us relevant, like sustained our relevancy a little bit. The docuseries that I was featured in, and our story was featured in, came out in June, on June 5th last year, on Apple TV, on the Dare series, where I was in an episode when they were honoring Stevie Wonder and sharing my story and how he influenced me. And so that was a good thing that happened. And then I had actually put out it was kind of like a solo mixtape project called Quarantine Music. And it was like talking about things, like we dropped it on the Forward City name, but it was a lot of songs that I had recorded maybe like in a month period of time while I was just home. And like the ideas of everything that was happening, like surrounding the pandemic. And so a lot of those ideas are on there, and that sustained me like creatively, and like putting music out for a few months. And then and we actually had a song on there with I gotta put a give a rest in peace shout out to an artist from the Bronx who was very acclaimed lyrically, who passed away from COVID last year around this time too. His name is Fred the Godson. He was on there. And then towards the end of the summer, we did something with Jadakiss about anti-gun violence. We did something with the BBC News or something. So little things just been happening just to keep, even though we ain't out there physically, just a lot of things in the digital space has been pretty cool, still happening. And it's kind of weird because it's hard to connect with them to really realize that so much things have still been happening productively because we're not out there doing it physically. But we still, I would say from last year to now, we put out a lot of projects that's been a lot of videos and things that I think is pretty cool, that hopefully one day the people who got it now, well, I always look at it like art, so I hope it appreciates over time when people look back and be like, wow, during this time, like we did some great, put out some great projects, even though it was like a time not to.
I know that you had an accident. Has the proliferation of gun violence increased or decreased in the Bronx?
Well, it's hard for me to put a finger on it, just because, like, as a being a product of it, I feel like when I was younger, I grew up in the Bronx, and it was very the violence was very prevalent, but I feel like it was a little different because it was so territorial that you just never knew what would happen. And people didn't talk about gun violence as much back then, even though little things was happening, a lot of violence was happening, but people didn't talk about it as much. And now I feel like people talk about it a lot more, and it puts a spotlight more on it, and it may be happening more, it may not. But the difference is between now and when I was growing up, I feel like now there's a lot more quick reactions and ignorance to it. So I feel like, I don't know if it's better or worse, but I feel like it's more, what they call it, senseless, like the senseless gun violence. Because it's like, now we have the internet, now we have more news, now we have people with video. So now we can actually see it blatantly, and you can see like the influence. So now I feel like it's more ignorance behind it, because, and more irrational just because of that, you know, like before it's like, it's not an excuse, but I feel like people kind of didn't know any better. And I feel like now people should know better, and it's still happening in such a senseless way, kind of make it a little worse than it was before.
Righty, this is kind of related to Katie's question. So I was wondering, do you believe that the Bronx during non-pandemic times is generally a safe place to visit? And do you think it's accessible for people with disabilities?
Is the Bronx a safe place? Of course it's a safe place to visit. Like I said, when I was growing up, my answer to that would have been like, no. I would have said no, because it was more territorial. Like, if you, I feel like You couldn't go certain areas if you didn't know somebody. Now I feel like you can go certain areas if you don't know somebody, but, you know, just make sure you keep your head on a swivel, because senseless, like I said, the senselessness of things is still out there. And that's anywhere. Like, you see all these mass shootings and things. That's what I mean. Like, when I was growing up, I don't remember so many mass shootings, but I got friends that I know I got killed. But I don't remember, like, people just randomly getting killed so much at one time just by a senseless gun violence, somebody being stupid with a gun. Stupid with a gun, that's the name of the song that was hosted by Jetta. And that song was just kind of, it was just kind of putting people, trying to put a light on something and make people feel stupid if they using a gun. But I don't know, it's in the Bronx. So I would say, yeah, I feel... You know, I would say, yeah, just keep your head on a swivel and you know, be respectful to yourself and other people, and should be okay. Go visit the Bronx Zoo, Yankee Stadium. I'm wearing a Mets shirt right now, but people know I'm a Yankees fan, the biggest. So, but I rock with the Mets too, and Queens. Shout out to Queens. But the Bronx, the Yankees is where it's at. Go to the Yankee game, and you know, you'll be all right.
Thank you so much again, Tab Waters. Now we're going to come back and chat more with him again in a few minutes. But now let's go for our last and third song break. Jordan, what's the song we're listening next?
Thanks, Anna. Our third song of the show is The Savior by Four Wheel City, off the album God Bless America.
Dedicated to anyone feeling lost in the struggle right now, can't find their way, just need to be saved. Yeah, take a chance, roll the dice, roll with me, I roll with Christ, I sacrifice, I pay the price to save the world and save your life. I seen the light, I seen the dark, I see the pain in your heart, I know it hurts. And getting worse,
on my
but
knee.
Can't ease the pain. Popping perks, popping pills, just not to feel. But the time is now, and it's time to heal. Time to feel, time to listen. To this testimony that God is spitting. I'm on a mission, it was written for me to find what you've been missing.
Something
different, I in the vision.
Something
from God, he's talking, listen.
Welcome back to All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM. The song you just heard was The Savior by Four Wheel City off the album God Bless America. Back to you, Anna.
Thanks, Jordan. So we've been having a pretty deep conversation, chatting here with Four Wheels, Four Wheel City's Namel Tapwaters Norris, a very talented hip hop artist and a motivational speaker. In case you're just tuning in, now Four Wheels City is an entertainment organization. Okay, so now we'll just go to the last bit of questions, and I think Monica is starting first.
So what are some ways that listeners could support Four Wheel City?
Oh, well, I would say, you can start by, getting connected with us by following us on social media. Facebook is just the number 4, the Wheel, W-H-E-E-L, and then City, C-I-T-Y. That's Four Wheel City. I mean, you look at Four Wheel City anywhere, you'll find us. So stay connected with us. FourWheelCity@gmail.com. If you want to Gmail us, FourWheelCity.com. So get connected with us, and then support our music. Download. We got albums on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, Google, whatever you on. Go stream our music. Watch our videos on YouTube. Also, we have an organization, and anybody want to donate to our programs, that'd be great too. I guess follow our example for if you see or hear anything that connects to you, and just be inspired to wear our wristbands and say be inspired. You know what I mean? Wristbands, the website. We got hats. Everybody wanna get a hat for Four Wheel City. We got t-shirts, so stuff like that. And I would just say do your best to stay connected with us, and that's the best thing right there.
Awesome. I'll definitely go give your Facebook and Instagram a follow. And would you be able to tell us a little bit about your songwriting process?
I mean, when I write, I be inspired. I write from a place of inspiration. I don't force music. I write things that come from my heart, or I gotta feel like something that I could just be like chewing bubble gum, and if I blow a bubble and it pop a certain way, and it makes me think about something, I'm like, I'll stop right there and be like, oh, that's a song. Let me start writing it. It can be anything. But it's like, you gotta have the discipline, and you gotta really love to do it to actually make it into something. My process is just doing it. That's my I tell people that a lot. It's like, a lot of people have ideas, but they don't express them. They don't just do them. So my process is like not to overthink it. And if I'm inspired by it, I feel like I have the talent enough to just make it into something. I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know how it's going to sound, but it's like, let me just create something based on this idea or this feeling I'm having about it. So I just try to stay inspired by things, because if I'm inspired by something, I'm going to write about it.
Thank you for sharing that. I'm actually going to take that advice. Working on my essays too.
And that's another thing. I used to go to school, and when I was in school, when I was in college and stuff, I took the same approach. You get like 5-page papers, 10-page papers.
Yeah.
You sit there and you overthink it. And actually, my writing process doing songs is similar to when I used to write in school, because it's always the middle, intro, middle, end, and all that. But when I was in college and stuff, I would just write, and I wouldn't worry about a sentence. I wouldn't worry, what they call it, grammar. I didn't worry about the grammar. I didn't worry about nothing. I actually used to want to be like, I hope everything I'm writing is kind of wrong. Not wrong what I'm writing, but just like, I hope I'm spelling words wrong. I hope I'm like have run-on sentences, and I hope I'm just expressing myself. Because when I do that, when I finally stop, I have like 3 or 4 pages of stuff. Especially when it became digital, I have like 3 or 4 pages of stuff. And then when they say double space and I take out everything, I'm like, wow, I just wrote 4 or 5 pages of my thing. And I wasn't even, I didn't even know, because I kept a single space. I didn't double space until like the end of our film. And then when I did that and finished everything, I was like practically done. I just had to go back and put in like the citations and all these other things. By the time I knew it, it was like done. And I didn't really sit there and think about it too much. I just went off my head and just wrote. And that always helped me do papers very fast. Because when you stop and you're trying to like spell the right thing right, dude, it's like it's gonna like bogger you down. I just do that at the end.
And our next question is from Jordan, I think.
Yeah, I think a lot of people can take your advice when it comes to writing, just kind of coming from the heart and, you know, just spitting on the page, just raw.
Yeah.
So you said you had a project with Snoop Dogg. So out of any artist like in the game right now, who would you really want to collaborate with in the future?
Well, in the game right now, I like a lot. I feel like music right now is in a cool space with a lot of artists that are in the game right now. For a while, I thought it was like, oh, but now I'm liking a lot of the artists that's out right now. And for me, like right now, just to test my creativity right now in this space and this generation, I would like to work with like a lot of the new artists, like the Baby and the Little Baby, and their names are like Baby, but I think they're cool artists, because and both of them be throwing up the four too. So I think that's pretty cool. I was like, for new artists, I like the approach, and they talking about things, and so like from the new generation, them. And then like just like some of my like inspirational type collaborations I would like to have. I would love to work with like Jay-Z or Drake or like a Kanye West, Pharrell, something like that, like people like that.
Oh, that's great, man. Also because I'll add this just to this question. Who you can add some artists who aren't in the game right now. Like you said, you really were inspired by DMX, rest in peace. Any other artists like that, that, you know, if you had the chance, you'd want to drop a track with?
Definitely DMX. Biggie for sure. I'm starting to, let me see. I'm starting to get back into my guitar right here. I'm working on, so I've been getting into a lot of musicians lately, and I've been feeling inspired by a lot of musicians that play instruments lately. So like like a Prince, somebody. I'm just like people. I like people who like I could tell when they like do music. They're not being like pigeonholed, or they're not being orchestrated. Like they really just are very open-minded when they do their music. Like, cause I'm open-minded when it comes to music. So when I think about working with people, if we're in the same space, I want to work with people that are very open-minded about music. Cause that makes like the process of making it fun.
I love that, man. That respect. Our next question is going to come from Katie.
What are your thoughts on hip hop and glamorizing gun violence, or the concept of needing to have a criminal bad boy background to rap about hip hop as a victim of gun violence, but an artist in the genre?
I just think that's part of the culture of like hip hop. See, I feel like. So it's weird because I can talk about music industry in a way it kind of disrespects or discriminates against people in wheelchairs or disability. But hip hop and rap to me, in a sense, goes through the same thing the disability kind of goes through. Like on a music landscape, I feel like rap and stuff doesn't get the same respect or the same kind of, so. We actually, Forward City is actually like a dual kind of approach to advocacy. Because as much as we advocate for people with disabilities in music, we advocate for hip hop in the disability space too, by the way we do what we do. Because it's very hip hop. even though we feel like we could get more support from the hip hop community, we don't turn our back as far as when we go into the disability community. We come very hip hop oriented. And I'm saying that to say, sometimes we do shows and stuff and people come up and say, oh, I don't like rap, but I like what you said. I like what you did. And I'm like, wait, let's rewind what you just said. You do like rap, because I just was rapping. So you like rap, but what has happened is, it's been so saturated by just one type of idea of it. And sometimes it paints a picture of the art form the wrong way. And I feel like that question and gun violence and all that kind of falls under that umbrella. And the violence in rap is a culture thing. And it's not a rap culture thing. It's a violent culture thing. Because it's like that same thing that like we love in hip hop, I love in movies. I love like movies like Goodfellas, Boys in the Hood. I mean, it's that same kind of thing in rap. Like we kind of just characters, and sometimes it translates to the streets and vice versa, because like that's the culture, but that's just not rap culture. That's in a lot of different space. And what happens is it gets saturated and promoted, and then it comes a generational thing. But if I can say anything about the gun violence, me being a victim of it, when we did Welcome to Reality, and the first verse was Mr. for the girls, and the second verse was Mr. for the boys, and the second verse was Miss for the girls, then the third verse is bringing them all together for the message. It was like, it was kind of saying, like, because it said, stop, think, welcome to reality. You think you're rough, you think you're tough, you think you're bad as me. Think you're hard, you think you're God, you live a fantasy. Keep it up, and you're going to end up saying down like me. And I only could say that because I wasn't trying to say, because you got to keep the culture in perspective. So it's like, I wasn't trying to say, okay, so, like, you're wrong, because then that would make me, that would make me a traitor. I feel like that would make me a traitor to what I know, like the young people are actually aspiring to do and be. I would never want to violate that, because I used to feel that. I know, I understand, because I used to feel that way. And that's what made me become violent, or made me want to be, have a gun. And so sometimes when people go too much against the grain of that, it makes young people go against them. And so it's like, instead of saying what you're doing is wrong, it's just saying, well, here's the reality of it. And like, I feel you, I'm part of that, but look at me. Like, you think you're rough, you think you're tough, you think you're bad as me. So it's like, I don't separate myself from it, even though I'm like a victim and a product of it. I don't separate myself, because I understand the process of it. And if you just jump to like be like, oh, that's wrong, or that's thing, then it's like kind of insulting to the reasons and the mentality of somebody who wants to shoot somebody or have a gun, because it's a lot more that goes into that. And I feel like in rap, we haven't like figured out that we can have a better voice and more like influence over each other. But it's not just the rappers alone, it's the whole industry. And like I said, like the stuff we rap about is like, maybe it has no value to some of the people who invest in rappers. And that's sad. But if they did invest in that, you would hear a lot more of that. And rap would be the thing that people would be like, you need to listen to rap, because that's the best thing that will help you. See what I'm saying? Because rap is not the subject, it's the art. So like, somebody could paint a picture of a bird, somebody could paint a picture of a bat. You know, somebody could paint a picture of a flower, somebody could paint a picture of a rat. So it's like, but do we be like, art is bad? No, because it's just like how's it expressed. So a lot of the expression in rap is just focused. But the investment goes into one focus of it. And if I think more investment went into like the positive aspect and more people reflected that, then you would just, that's what you would hear more. You would hear that. And that's what people would look at rap as. And it used to be that way when it started. You know, it was about like uplifting people. Like if you look at a lot of the early rappers, they call themselves grandmasters, the professors, and they had these names that when you heard their names, you kind of thought they were like intelligent or had respect, or they were trying to teach you something. Their names were telling you that, because that's what rap was. But then it just changed, and then people wanted to be tough. And then once that happened, it's like you gotta perpetrate that, and then influence other people. So, and now we just caught in that cycle, but it'll be all right. At some point, I think. You just got to keep working at it.
Thank you so much for all this insight. And the next question is from Jordan.
I just kind of want to add on to the last question. And like, I'm pretty big in like into the hip hop culture, but kind of looking at it through like a Canadian side. And I know it's going to be different in the Bronx. But since you guys are kind of the pioneers of intersecting like the culture with, you know, talk about disabilities, what would you recommend to other artists that are trying to, you know, address like the culture?
I would say, don't talk about it, be about it. Because even if you do talk about it, be loud. You know, like, so like, I would say that, like, don't talk about it, be about it mean, don't complain about something and have no proof that you are doing the work to actually lead someone else to help you, or you are actually being the example of what you want to see. So don't just talk about it, be about it. And then if you do talk about it, be good at it and be loud and have some influence and practice. Don't complain. Like, you talk about it, work on your voice, how you speak, your words, and really influence somebody with the way you speak about it, so people can want to follow your message. And I think that's pretty much all you got to do. And then, you know, be on point and just try to make things happen, and opportunities will come, and you just keep doing that process over and over.
That's a really good message. Thanks. So for our next question, it's kind of related to a little bit about gun control. So as of Thursday, President Biden announced some executive action to tighten restrictions around some firearms. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on it? And do you think it's enough to see some real change?
So, I was just actually reading about that the other day. And so funny you mentioned that, because some of the organizations that were influential in getting that to happen were some of the organizations that we know and work with here in New York City. Shout out to Erica Ford, Life Camp Inc., and a few others. I feel like it's a great, well, you know, it's like I've always looked at gun violence like it's a mental and an inspiration thing. And if any of that helps and goes in the right directions and helps people who are in a way that is not just like pandering to it, but more so really really getting to the fine points of what things that help people make rational and better decisions. Like, we want to get involved and hopefully get supported and maybe funded to go speak to more, expand our messages to more areas, like with some of these areas where some of these demographic or other kids in other communities, other than where we've been, to hear our message, you know, and maybe have a different way to approach like emotional instability. And, you know, we work with an organization called Dare to Dream, who we go to schools and we speak to kids about peer mediation, and we perform for them. And there's just a lot of things that I hope get addressed from a mental and an inspirational point, and not just like things are just paper, like on paper, like, all right, we can just do that now, paper, because that doesn't really change anything. It doesn't change the mind of a heart of somebody who really wants to do something to somebody. They just find another way to do it. You know, so it's like if we don't really touch the people's minds and hearts and get them to have their own like serious awakening. So you could put them in a room, like you could put somebody in a room. Like what I mean is like if you take one person who has their mind set on doing a mass shooting and you put them in a room one the first time with some what they call those guns, I forgot what they call them, the automatic guns and stuff. If you put them in a room with a bunch of those guns and they pick it up and they go do that shooting. But I would like to be like, if I spoke to that person or they heard my song or anything that money would go to, whatever it is, that when they experience that, you go take them back and put them in that same room. And they won't even realize the gun is in there because their mind is in a different space. So I hope we can really find things like that that get people's mind in a different space and not just, oh, you can't touch that gun. But meanwhile, they still want to do whatever's in their mind.
No, that's really true. Like changing their mind instead of just taking away. Like,
exactly.
Taking away access. Yeah. Yeah, thanks. And our next question is going to go to Richard.
Thanks, Jordan. So are there any projects or virtual events that you're currently working on that you would like our listeners to know about?
Yeah, well, like I said, the panel with the Grammys is coming up. That's going to be on April the 21st, I think. We're getting some things together now to get our programs back going. So just be on the lookout for our Welcome to Reality tours again. Whether it's going to be virtually or we're going to get back in some of the schools. I just put out a single called a remix of Tupac Picture Me Rolling, celebrating my birthday, but it's pretty cool. It's been, it got a video with a bunch of pictures, Picture Me Rolling, and that's doing pretty well. Rick is working on a few things. He's always producing. And we hoping to, like, by the end of the year, have our documentary together to, like, roll out going into, like, 2022. And just as the world is starting to, like, evolve and find ways to open back up, we're going to be on the lookout for, you know, you're going to see our name around popping up on some things. And so just be on the lookout. Like I said, make sure you just main things like connect to us, you know, and don't be afraid to say hi. And we got stuff coming that's gonna blow your mind away soon.
And our last question will be from Monica.
So last but not least, is there anything you would like to say to our CITR listeners, kind of like a final message?
You know, shout out to y'all, shout out to Canada. You know, I know Drake is big out there, the six, but we actually was out there. We did like some shows at like four different schools. Oh, it was the Canadian Music Therapy Association's big conference. And then we did that. We went to some schools out there and we was there for like a week. And I spoke to like four schools, like eight different classes. And so I got love for Canada. So thanks for having us. And I would just say, I mean, if you miss anything that I said this whole time, I feel like I said a lot, but I think the overall most important thing is to be inspired, you know, be inspired to just be, you know, like, because if you don't have motivation, it's going to be hard to do what you want to do in life. And the thing is, when I say be inspired, it means to like, just be ready to do, you know, just be ready to move, just be ready to go, just be ready to fly, you know, and just be ready. Cause when you're inspired, it keeps you on your destiny path. And, I think what happens is sometimes people get a little stagnated, or they get a little discouraged because they can't see like what they want to happen, and it makes people like give up. And so if you feel like giving up out there, just know that you got a life ahead of you, but you gotta put one foot in front of the other. Or if you're in a wheelchair, you gotta let your wheels roll and don't be afraid to say hi to people and tell them what you want and tell them what you like and tell them who you are, and just keep looking for opportunities. And that's what I would say. And follow Four Wheel City, because we are examples of that. So if you ever need inspiration for that, you can see me. You see Rick. So we can't be like we lying about it.
Thank you for that message. We definitely have many new fans now. And that wraps up our show for today. Tap Waters, thank you for joining us today. We really appreciate you coming to our show, and we're so moved by your art and activism, bringing so much needed awareness to issues of disability. We here at All Access Pass are inspired by you, Four Wheel City, and your incredible journey. We wish you a happy birthday and have fun at the Grammys. Thank you for sharing your talent with us today.
All right, thanks a lot.
If you are interested in joining our team or think there is an issue we should bring up on our show, please send us an email at accessibilitycollective@citr.ca.
And special thank you to Four Wheel City's Tap Waters for chatting with us today.
Please like our All Access Pass Facebook page.
If you're on Twitter or Instagram or both, please follow us at @access_CITR.
If you missed part of our live show today and want to listen again, or maybe you want to listen to our past shows, you can do so on CITR.ca by going on the search box and typing in All Access Pass.
Take care and stay safe. Stick around for more CITR programming coming up next. Bye, everyone.